Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Black Seinfeld. This is the show about absolutely nothing. Thank you once again for tuning in. I go by the name of Psyche, and as always, is with me right now is Bastion's not here yet, y'all. He's not here yet. But I don't blame him, okay? The man lives all the way in Queens, you know, that cesspool of a borough. Nah, I'm just playing. I'm joking. He'll be here soon, though. But, you know, I can't get mad at Bastion because I remember the first time I was late here and he held it down. I was late. I think I was 20 minutes late, right, Reggie?
Yes.
But so I can't hate on him. You know, he has a new job. You know what I mean? He's making that moolah. So I can't complain. You know what I mean? And I just want to thank y'all once again for tuning in. And if you haven't already, please like, favor, subscribe, do all that stuff on the iTunes and the Facebook. And we don't have SoundCloud anymore because it just wasn't working out for us. But Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff at blackseinfeldny@gmail.com. And also, hey, email us too, blackseinfeldny@gmail.com, because, I don't know, maybe you want to be on the show, maybe you want to promote something, and we'll do that for you, man. And we're here once again spitting that intellectual ignorance, all right? Sophisticated ignorance. Write my curses in cursive. I just want to start off by saying one thing. I want to give a shout out to Porzingis. Finally, okay? Finally, my man's an all-star. It's a long time coming, okay? This man has been holding it down for the Knicks, all right? I knew it. I told y'all, once Carmelo left, it's going to be Porzingis' team. And look what he's doing, man. Making damage. Hopefully, I want the Knicks to make the playoffs. But this is the Knicks, after all. What's that, Reggie? Huh? So, go on, speak your opinion.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that, you know, as long as they make it entertaining, they don't have to make it to the playoffs this year. But as long as they are competitive and on the verge of growing, which it seems like they're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm cool. I'm good with that. I'm good with that right now because, you know, it's enough of bringing in superstars and stuff like that, and then just don't build around it. True. And it looked like they're building around Porzingis, and I'm looking forward to the years to come on this.
Exactly,
on this
and I'm happy team. About yeah. that because we yeah. needed Carmelo to get the F up out of here because it was still Carmelo's team and
it was a mess.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was unfortunate. On paper, it seemed like it was a good idea, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. It wasn't just clear. It wasn't. Nah, it wasn't it. It was Dolan and his dole things, you know, and making sure that he just gets starstruck, you know, and just build quality over something. Don't,
true.
You know,
See, it's interesting that you said quality because, you know, today is the day we take the next step forward in our radio careers. As young New York personalities, I and Bastion himself complained too much about not being able to have our voices heard and of the culture, of the urban hip-hop culture. And sometimes, you know, well, it's true right now. It's saturated with, like, so much of these old heads. And no disrespect to them because I respect everything that they've done for us. But I feel like our generation is being misrepresented. And I feel like a lot of these personalities want to bash millennials and talk about how much we like to eat avocado toast, and which I don't understand still, okay? So now we're taking it upon ourselves to bring in our friends and people who we find very talented or just a great personality. So with that being said, welcome our very first guest to the Black Seinfeld Show. He wants me to call him Mr. HQ. Please welcome HQ, everybody, to the show, y'all.
Yay!
How's it going, man? Take off your hat, man.
No, man, I'm good.
Fine.
All right. How's it going? It's going pretty well. How about you? How you doing?
So it's good to see you, man.
It's great to see you as well, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Listen, all right. The first day I met you, okay, this was Spanish class.
You remember?
Of course. Do you remember?
I remember.
Do you remember the first time you started talking to me?
No.
All right. Let me paint the picture, right?
Paint it.
So It's like freshman year for me. Uh-huh. Right? And I'm in Spanish class. And during Spanish class, we have Spanish class for 2 days. One day is within the classroom. One day is in this computer lab. And during the computer lab time, we'd have to be doing all the Spanish work online. It was very tedious, very boring. But I remember one day I was just sitting next to this guy. And I think I was listening to some Kanye, or I was watching something with Macho Man Randy Savage. And then we just started talking.
Randomly.
Uh-huh. So now, all right, I've always known you as, like, you were pretty quiet in class. But ever since we started talking and hanging out,
mm-hmm.
there's more to you than meets the eye, sir.
A whole lot more. Damn.
Please,
right.
Tell the people. Let the people know.
Well, for starters, you know, I'm quickly just going to announce that, you know, I also have Chris Watts in the building with me. Chris Watts, who's been a very foreign.
This guy. this man.
A very, like, instrumental part of my life. I've always been a hip-hop fan, you know. I've also been a man of many talents also.
Oh, we're going to get into those talents.
Loving to work out, you know what I mean?
We're gonna get into that too.
You know, but hip hop is definitely, just like you said earlier, you know, definitely an urbanized thing in New York. You know, started off in the Bronx, and, you know, my nephew, he started rapping like years ago. You know what I mean? Taking you back to Queens, you know, where we, you know, initially, I used to actually rap. You know what I mean?
Wait, what?
Yeah, I had bars, man.
Can we hear a little bit of the bars, bro?
I don't have 16 with me, but my nephew, I don't know if there's a beat. Maybe you could get a little something, but I don't know about that up in here. But honestly, I used to have some flows, you know what I mean? And Chris, he definitely took it, man. He took it and, you know, he started running with it, man. And ever since then, man, he's been polishing his craft. I mean, it's like greatness in the flesh. You know what I mean?
How'd you meet Chris Watts?
How did I meet Chris Watts? I met Chris Watts by his mom. His mom, I met her. Chris, he's just like looking and staring out. Let's just say I met Chris in the park. He was playing basketball in the park, and he missed a shot. I ran over, took the ball, and I roofed it. we'll just say that's how we met. You know what I mean? Mm. I roofed the ball, and later on, it's just history from there. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, so, yeah, man, carry on.
All right, so, you know, you've talked about, you know, being of the culture. What album did it for you? What album made you want to go, you know what, this is what I want to do with my life?
What album really did it for me, man? You know what? Even when it comes down to my top five,
mm-hmm.
my top five is not everyone else's top five. Maybe one or two artists.
Okay,
but
spit the top five, bro. This is going to be great.
Okay, so
a great little debate.
Okay, so I have a gentleman from Houston. His name is K. Reno. I don't know if anybody's familiar with K. Reno. Crickets. Okay. Somebody's familiar with K. Reno. It's not Crickets. Another gentleman from Houston, Zero. All right. A few guys, you know, familiar with Zero. Who else? Tupac, of course. That's just, it goes without saying. Joe Budden. You know, I'm a huge, huge Joe Budden fan. So let's see, that's four. And number four. Five, who else? Who else do I always throw in there? My go-to. Dang, I only got four right now. Yeah, I got four
that's
right
pretty.
Now. But what album?
Yeah, what was the album that did it for you? Was it what?
Joe Budden's first album.
Oh, I was going to say, what mood music did it
mood
for you,
music.
What mood music did it
Are
for you?
Are you in that mood yet? You
know? Shouts out to you, Mouse, if you listen, and hope you do, man.
That's right, Mouse. He definitely walked away from, was that Everyday Struggle?
He did.
It was kind of sad to see, but
I still listen to his podcast, though.
Oh, you still listen to his podcast?
Absolutely.
What's it called again?
Joe Budden Podcast.
Joe Budden Podcast.
Yo,
okay.
Did you hear about who replaced him over at Complex?
Who?
Star, bro.
Star.
Star?
Starred Buck Wild Star did.
Oh, that's good shock value.
It was good shock value when I saw the first episode, but of course, you know, it's the first couple episodes, so it's right. definitely very awkward.
Right.
And Star has this presence about him that sometimes can be very off-putting at times, but again, it's the first couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, hopefully, I don't know if I want to watch it anymore, because this...
Why not?
Because I listened to the Joe Budden podcast once he departed from Everyday Struggle, and he basically laid down everything that happened to him. And basically, Joe created the show. This was Joe's show.
All right, so you feel like the value of Everyday Struggle just left with Joe?
Yeah, definitely did.
But Star's one hell of a personality, man.
He's one of the reasons why I started doing this.
Oh, see?
He's definitely one of the reasons why, but... It's just not the same, man.
It's not the same?
It's not the same.
No, bro. I love Star, man.
Maybe I love Star, too, but I remember one interview Star was like, you know, I don't want to, you know, work for anyone else. I need to start owning some stuff. But now he's working for Complex, and the whole reason why Joe left was because he felt like he wasn't being compensated enough for the work that he's done with Everyday Struggle, which I feel like, I don't know the man personally, but I can see why he feels that way.
Right, and that's something in this industry. You need to be compensated well. The money is there, but they're always trying to shorthand people. A lot of funny things going on in the industry, man.
That is one question I wanted to ask you. All right.
We're not going to get too personal.
No, don't get too personal. But
you know,
like,
we're not going to call names.
No,
but,
you don't have to call names or anything, but just what are some things that has happened where you go, damn, like, it's not what I expected.
All right.
Did Birdman try to...
We haven't crossed paths with Birdman or anything like that. But, you know, for example, let's say we go out to a function, you know, an industry meeting, and there are a bunch of industry people up in there. You know what I mean? And you're a young, talented artist, you know? You have prospect, and you meet a couple of folks and they're like, hey, man, yeah, you know, we heard you're single. Oh, my goodness. You know, take my number down. You know, let's talk to each other sometime. Or here's my email. You know, shoot me something, you know. You shoot them something. You get no response to an email. You call them. It goes directly to voicemail. Mm. You know what I mean? So funny things like that tend to happen in the industry. You know what I mean? And you learn from it. It's not going to happen once. It's not going to happen twice. It's going to keep happening. So that's why you always hear these artists make reference to no one being real enough in the industry. You know what I mean? I remember it was Dave East not too long ago who he was thanking Fabolous, you know, for guiding him through the industry. You know what I mean? Because so much just goes on, you know? It's really hard to get into detail, but... Man, I tell you, man, when I hear artists talk about stuff like that,
right.
I can relate, you know?
Has there ever been anyone sort of like a Fabulous to you that has sort of like showed you the game almost? Like, all right, stay away from this person, you know, you can't trust this person. Maybe you can talk to this guy, but, you know, don't get too close to him. Was there anyone like that for you?
Nope. So thus far,
so
you
you're
know,
just moving through a room full of vultures, basically.
Moving through a room full of vultures. You know what? We've been learning by trial and error. You know, things look great in the beginning, and then also it just starts to veer off to the left and just goes all the way left field. You know, it's crazy like that. You know, so I hope I could bump into someone sooner or later. But if not, you know, we're just gonna go through it like everybody else, and our sentiment might be the same as well. Like, hey. You know, that industry, boop, you know what I mean? It's just crazy, you know? So that's why you hear that consistently from artists, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you also share that news, that same sentiment that Bash and I feel that, you know, the new generation should be able to be presented in the forefront, but they're not being able to because of a lot of the...
New generation in terms of artists?
I feel like artists have a better place now because we have the internet. So you don't need some sort of, like... big company to back them. I mean, I think the first real internet rapper that was successful, in my opinion, was like Soulja Boy.
Yeah, Soulja definitely. Boy. You hit it on the head. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about in terms of like personalities.
Oh.
Like, especially with when it comes to New York, too.
So you're talking about in terms of a personality hitting it big.
Yep.
Honestly, Tax Stone, man. I mean, that was a guy I felt just came out of nowhere and just... You know, was becoming a huge sensation. I had no idea who he was, you know, and all of a sudden there are people just listening to him. He had footage everywhere, you know what I mean? So that caught me, you know. He was pretty good. He was real, you know.
He was definitely real.
He was feared, you know.
Oh, he was definitely feared. He locked up because of the fear aspect.
Exactly, but that lane is open now. Who's going to run and take that lane? It's wide open.
That's a good question.
And you got it. I mean, in a sense, to take it there, you got to have some type of street connection too, because he said a lot of you know what I mean?
Very true.
He said a lot of, you know, so.
Yeah, but he was also fearless too.
He was definitely fearless.
And he was not afraid. I mean,
unfortunately, he was not afraid, man.
Free tax stone.
Free tax stone, man. That was sad, man. That was sad. Word. You know, but what can you do, man?
Anyways, man, let's get off of that real quick.
Okay.
So people know you as a manager, but you know what I knew you first as HQ the Fitness Guru.
That's definitely it. HQ the Fitness Guru, man. I mean, I would take that back to, let's say, maybe 2012. A college buddy of mine named Nick. You know, I saw him compete in like the WBF. You know, like. Well, yeah, it was definitely.
What's the WBF?
I think that wasn't that the, I don't know, something to do with weightlifting. He was competing. I don't know if it's IBF, WBF,
World Body
Fitness Federation or something like that, whatever. And I was like, man, this guy's pretty chopped up, you know? So I was like, hey, I love fitness. Why can't I do that? And then it came to the point where I was like in the gym 5 days a week. I met a nutritionist by the name of Wade. You know, he gave me some guidance, how to eat, you know, what things not to eat. And definitely I took it there to the point where I was, you know, sliding across some new news feeds, you know. I wasn't sliding in any DMs, though, you know, but I was in a few people's news feeds. So that's cool. I love fitness, you know, healthy life.
And give the people some sort of like fitness tips, what to eat, what not to eat. You know, it's a new year.
New year.
You know what I'm saying? Everyone wants to go. You know how it is in the gym on January's, bro.
January 1st.
Everyone is in the gym.
January 1st.
1 month later, those people are gone.
Gone. You know what? All year round, you gotta stick to it. It can't just be a New Year's resolution. You know what I mean? And I'm more of a fat burning expert, you know. I was taught to how much carbs to eat, how much fats to eat, how much sugars to eat, how many times a day I need to eat, to the point where everything was just disappearing off me. So I would tell folks, you know, you gotta really manage the meals. You know what I mean?
True.
And if you really want this, you'll go get it. But I know so many guys who struggle with weight loss, man. They just can't do it. They don't have the discipline. You know, some people are vegans. Some people are vegetarians.
What up with the quotes, bro?
Huh?
What up with the vegetarian quotes?
It's hard to do those things nowadays unless you're actually growing your own food in terms of like GMOs and, man, a whole host of other things. It's just very difficult, you know? So I guess in the mind, people like to think that, okay, you know what? Even though this is being sprayed with insecticide and pesticides and a host of all other things, you know, in the mind, it's like, okay, at least I'm eating a watermelon or I'm eating an apple or I'm eating an orange. It has no seeds in it. You know, that kind of thing. You know, people are trying. You know what I mean? But they're trying with what they have, the produce that's in front of them. You know what I mean? So you can only do but that. But if you're growing your own food now, your watermelon, they have black seeds in it. A lot of people are like, oh, watermelon, seedless watermelon? Oh, what's that? You know what I mean?
True.
You know?
Yeah, how do you even create seedless watermelon?
Man, it's just crazy. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with, like, Monsanto or what?
Yeah. Say that again, intern Mike.
Monsanto.
Monsanto products.
Yeah. Yeah, he's involved in it's a crazy business in terms of food out there, man. It's terrible, man. It's terrible.
Do you grow your own? Do you have your own garden?
I do not have my own garden, unfortunately. I don't grow my own food, but what I do is I spend more money for organic food. You know what I mean? I spend the $6 on strawberries instead of getting a one for $3, you know?
So you're the reason why Whole Foods is going to be coming over to Jamaica Ave soon, huh?
Is Whole Foods coming to Jamaica Ave?
I don't know, but I really do feel like it's going to happen. I mean, it's over in 125th, so...
Well, it should come to Jamaica
Ave. The Ave is going to be the next spot where Whole Foods is going to come, and they're going to sell $8 chopped cheeses, all right?
Yes. That's about to happen for real. That's definitely about to happen, but it's okay.
Have you seen the Ave recently?
I've seen the Ave, about a week ago. I heard they have
They got new Starbucks now.
Starbucks.
They have Chipotle.
What's the other eatery? Dallas BBQ. Yeah, Dallas
BBQ. They got BBQs now?
Yeah, man.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Coliseum's getting shut down.
Coliseum block is getting shut down? The whole Cali block?
Not the strip, but like, you know, like the actual mall, like a lot of those stores are going out of business.
Seriously?
Real talk.
Oh.
Get out of here.
I mean, that they overpriced their sneakers, though, too.
True.
That's
a good point. But a lot of those stores downtown, they overpriced them, too.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I guess downtown got more credibility. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Crazy.
But what do you think about the whole New York gentrification going on in the cities?
I mean... What do I think about it? I don't live near it. I don't really see it much as everyone else, honestly
True,
speaking.
But
I
know to Tilden.
I did go to Tilden. I did go to Tilden, but that was like in 99, 2000.
Exactly. All right. Imagine coming back. Well, you're in Brooklyn right now. You could definitely see a difference.
It's definitely a difference, but what can you do about it? What can you do about it? You know what I mean? The demographic of Brooklyn is changing. Franklin Avenue, you know, with the addition of the Barclays Center. You know, it's just Brooklyn is just so different now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I always like to tell people, all right, this is still history. This is still Brooklyn, okay? Right where the Barclays at, Jay-Z used to sell crack over there, right? Never forget. Right? Never forget the roots of Brooklyn.
That's the roots. That's the roots.
And a couple blocks over, that's where Biggie used to sell crack, right?
What are you trying to do, scare people?
Absolutely. We got to keep New York grimy, okay? That's my slogan. That's what I'm running with.
Are you sticking to it?
I'm sticking to it, man. Because
I hate you, man.
Because I can see it now. I can just walk around this neighborhood or any other neighborhood, and you can just see the differences. And especially with the people living there now, there's a bit of sometimes uncomfortability with all the old residents that still live over there.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And definitely it's just a messed up situation because some of the new residents want the old residents to come out because they feel unsafe. But, you know, those same people have been living there, you know, since the hard times.
Struggle, man. Yeah.
I think the big problem is with gentrification. You know, they want to, you know, do all this good for the community. But is it really for the people that's living in there?
Of course not.
Exactly.
You know, let's just be straight up honest about that.
That's
it's definitely not about that, you know, but and. Those people who once lived in the community, it's like, you know, I heard a lot of them are heading upstate.
Yeah.
Heading to certain parts of the Bronx because they can't afford it anymore. It's become too expensive to live over here. And, you know, the other day at my place of, you know, where I work, a gentleman was telling me about a wealthy this and a wealthy that. And somebody bought out the second floor of some place on Franklin Avenue and now they're paying $4,000 in rent, and he's in finance. And I was like, whoa, who can pay $4,000 a month in rent?
A guy in finance who's very successful.
That's about it.
$4,000?
$4,000.
That was our tuition, man.
Come on, that was our tuition.
Jeez.
Just a year ago at York College, running up in the bursar's office trying to get rid of that thing.
Shouts out to York College. You know what I don't like about York College? Well, I'm going to say that. What? After we graduate, all the cool stuff has been happening at York.
Like what?
Did you hear Angela Yee was over there?
For real?
Bruh.
Get out of here.
She was there like 2 weeks ago talking at a seminar.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Did you go?
No, I was working. I got two jobs, man. So okay. I was over at
brother working.
I was over at Five Guys. Shouts out to y'all.
Okay,
I was flipping them burgers.
You was flipping them things.
Exactly.
You didn't tell me, man. I gotta come over and catch some burgers over there one day.
Yeah,
man.
Bro. You can get a nice burger bowl. I don't eat bread or I don't do that much dairy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bro. I stopped. Oh, I didn't tell you this, man. So
What?
2017 was my little resolution of like, yo, I'm gonna start going to the gym.
Okay, and, I realized that.
And all that stuff.
I
so
saw that on Facebook.
You know,
right.
I didn't stop.
Okay.
I didn't stop, man. And my lats are sore right now.
Your lats are sore?
Lats are definitely
sore.
Yeah, you
definitely look a little bigger than before.
See, a lot of people have been telling me that.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize the change until people were like, yo, bro, you bulked up a little bit. I'm like,
yeah, you bulked up, man.
Maybe, you know, I started eating a lot, which is one big pain. All right, I'm always hungry.
You're always hungry.
It's the worst thing ever. I'm so happy you brought over the pies and the sparkling ice drinks and I bought me some Ritz crackers too, just in case to hold me up a little bit.
Don't forget, I bought a fruit, man. I brought the banana, man.
Pause.
For the bros. Hey yo.
And Mike's from Harlem too.
Oh, he's
so
from Harlem. Yeah, all right,
that's
B.
Ultimate pause for him.
All right, B, you got it.
Mike, tell them what happened when you were eating the banana. You put it on Snap.
Oh, yeah. I had what a banana, happened? And I was like, I'm about to eat this. And I wrote in parentheses, no homo. And all my friends like, yo, son, what that radio station teach you out there? Yo, son, you bugging right now. You
wild. Wild.
You got to love Harlem.
Wild. Yeah, Harlem is a different animal. Hunt 33rd. Shout out to Hunt 33rd.
You've been around Harlem?
A little bit. One of my good friends who I met in college is from Harlem. Shout out to the Shark, Sherrod.
The Shark. Why did they call him the Shark?
The only black guy I met that loves to fish. Loves to fish. Yeah, man. Moved out to PA. Got himself a boat. Lives near the water. Has fishing gear.
We used to go fishing in Harlem.
This guy's different. My boy, though.
Fishing in Central Park?
Yeah, we used to go fishing in Central Park on 110th Street.
Oh, yeah?
That's what's up.
Okay.
You can't, like, keep the fish. You can, like, fish, like, give them corn and then throw them back in the water.
Okay. Well,
black people love fishing. I'm from the Caribbean. That's all you do is fish.
In the Caribbean, yeah, but we're here.
True.
You rarely see black folks fishing here.
I mean, the water's terrible over here, though.
It is. But folks just fish for the fun of it, you know?
Yeah, I never fish for the fun of it. I fish to eat them. I remember we did like this very, I guess you say this very sort of simplistic way to fish. We take this Coke bottle and we take the little line and then we put the hook in.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we would fish with that. And then once we caught the fish, we'd just reel it in by twisting the bottle up.
Right.
You know, very, very simple, very easy for y'all to do.
Why not just buy a fishing rod? That's easy to, trust me. It's cheap.
True, but, you know, if you don't have that much, you know, okay. you gotta work with something.
Okay, working with a little something.
Okay, I was
you.
Getting some lemons, and I was just making some lemonade out of it.
Okay.
All right, bro, don't hate.
don't hate. Nah.
So what artists are you currently feeling right now in terms of the new generation? You bumping Lil Yachty in your...
What art? You know what? I'm not bumping. Actually, they had the Yams Day the other day, and
That's right.
Yeah, you know he was there. You know he performed, and I was like, okay.
That was
a total
joke, by the way.
What was that?
You listening to Lil Yachty?
Oh, you. And here you got me going in, but no, the song is he had a was it Hush My Baby and I like it's catchy.
Nah, I don't know that song. I know One Night.
A little bit of cutie if you get so many likes. And then. Yeah, it was catchy. That's why it did what it did. You know, but for me, I feel like I really don't pay attention to a lot of these so-called, you know, mumble rappers as much. And I've been getting on to them kind of late, you know. So just the other day, I was actually bumping Lil Uzi Vert. What is it? How does that
XO Love?
Yeah. I was like, that song is catchy.
It's very catchy, but it's very emo, too.
It's very emo. Super emo. Heavy.
But I understand, you know, he used to big up Marilyn Manson all the time, too.
Yeah, so why is anybody surprised, you know?
True. But, I mean, he's not even a rapper, though. He called himself a rock star.
So he's a rock star, you know, whatever they want to call themselves, you know. But I'm definitely not one who's going to hate on the new generation or anything like that. But in terms of new artists, anybody that really so much music comes out, you know what
True.
I mean? And it's hard to I like, you know who I like? G Perico from the West Coast.
G Perico.
Yeah, okay. You ever heard of him?
Nah, I need to now.
Definitely look into him, man. That's an artist from the West Coast that I was like, okay, he has a style like Eazy-E. You know, he was also okay. At Yams Day. You know, he's also, you know, every other month the guy has a new project coming out. So whatever he's doing, that's moving. You know, Dave East. I listen to Dave East. You know, he's new. You know, he's moving. You know, Nipsey Hussle. Yeah, that's somebody I was gonna add into the top five right there.
Nipsey is very underrated.
Very underrated. But look at him now.
True.
He was very humble and stayed humble for years. And look at him now. Just did a partnership with Atlantic.
Exactly. Which
owns his music.
Changes the landscape completely.
Completely. Any artist that's not paying attention to Nipsey Hussle is going to lose in the future.
I agree.
He's a model for a lot of artists right now, especially those start, you know, well, yeah, most artists, they start off independent unless they become a overnight celebrity. So, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, what's the artist we should be on the lookout for? Mr. Chris Watts.
Chris,
this is going
to
be his new single. Yo, Chris, get on the mic real quick, man. Tell him about the single we about to play right now, bro.
All
right.
Hold on.
Good morning. Morning.
Appreciate morning, bro. You. Tell them about the single we about to play off right now.
Appreciate you. This joint right here is Whoa Yeah. Self-produced, co-produced by my bro, Bobby. It's birthday. Dope record, real fun record. I just wanted to encompass this real young vibe, real young energy that's going on. Along with, like, you know, my rhetoric, you know, and, you know, things that I think about and just kind of bring it to a medium, you know? Nah, I feel like I did that on this one. But yeah, you know, short springtime summer joint, you know?
All right, well, we about to get into it right now. This is Chris Watts with Whoa Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. and I'm a magician. It's complimenting the kids. I don't know none of that. I'm with none of that. I'm in the back of the. Trying to bounce on orange. Trying to treat the bounce of smoke. It's come around. I'm come around. Come around, choking. I be come around, choking. Hit the switch on a new Robbie. And it like, oh, yeah. Seen it just move from me, yeah. Come around with two tone and a big batch and poop prone, yeah. I feel like tones. Wait, croutons in the salad, in the malice, in the paddock. Tragic, magic.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Black Seinfeld, the show about absolutely nothing. I'm here with Chris Watts.
Whoa, yeah.
Yo, that's a dope tune, bro. Tell the people, how did you start getting into that record, man? What process did it take for you to make that?
Just produced it on my laptop, on Logic. And yeah, man, I don't know if you ever heard of Awful Records. You ever heard of Awful Records? Father?
No.
Little.
Enlighten me, please.
Little group out of Atlanta. Just real organic. They started with Playboi Carti before the whole ASAP movement kind of grabbed them up. But they kind of got a raw sound, you know, raw 808s. Less melodic, you know. I mean, it's light melodies, you know, but real 808 driven. That mixed with like the new young sound, like Famous Dex, Rich the Kid, you know. God Bless the Dead, my boy Devel Turner, you know. He came home. He was incarcerated for a little bit. He came home and he was just rocking with all of Famous Dex's new work.
Great save.
Like blessings. Like I Get to Drift from My Wall. Just all his new work, you know, and things that I wouldn't necessarily take a liking to, you know. But I just appreciated his energy and how he was having fun with it. So yo, I was like, you know.
Sort of like an ode to him.
Yeah, almost. Unfortunately, yeah, you know, he passed away. So I was like, yo, man, let me just try to create that energy and, you know, try to connect with the real young guys. And
yeah, and this could definitely be a song of the summer or the springtime, man. You made I see a lot of that with artists now. You know, they make a lot of songs for a specific season. I think that's going to be a song for the warmer season.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. Definitely appreciate that. Definitely. Yeah.
So who are some of your influences, man?
Some of my influences, Andre 3000, definitely. Kanye West, huge influence. Pharrell, huge influence. Travis Scott, huge influence. Just think of someone off. Let me just think of someone. Sade, huge influence. You know, just so. Pac Div, huge influence. You know, just some people grew up listening to.
All right, hold on. Let me sidetrack really
time,
quick.
Brother, take your time.
Because there's someone who just popped in right now. This man is super late. Bashanista, say what's up, bro, to the people.
Sorry, I was very late coming down from the jungle of Queens. Ooh. It ended up stopping the train for a good 30 minutes.
What happened, bro?
I have no idea, but I've been listening to the show. You guys are pretty awesome. But yeah.
Do you have any questions you want to ask, bro?
I'll let you continue the questions, but I got some I'll cut in.
All right, no problem. All right, so hold on, I wanna ask Mr. HQ a question really quick. We have a mic right here too, bro. So y'all have to switch up real quick.
Okay.
Because you know you're a very sneaky one, sir.
Me?
Yeah, you. I've known you for a while,
yeah.
And you always tell me like, yo. Trust me, psych. Yo, I got all this stuff planned. I got all this stuff going. I'm like, and I always did believe in you, but now it's starting to creep up, and now I'm noticing you, bro.
You're noticing me.
I'm noticing you, bro.
Okay, you notice it.
Like, I know on you. In Instagram you. And Jesus stuff, you always backstage. I think one time I saw a designer perform.
Facts.
How do you end up in all these weird places, bro?
Man, it's a secret, man. It's a method to the madness, man. I can say that I'm in the loop.
Okay.
I'm in the loop, man. I'm in a serious loop, you know?
Fair enough. The musician never, you know, magician never reveals a secret. Fine.
Magician never reveals, man.
It's okay.
You know?
I thought we were boys, but it's all right. It's all good.
Probably off air, I'll let you know something secretive, you know? But, okay. Hey, I'm in the loop, man, and I'm fortunate, man, you know?
You have been pumping some stuff, bruh. Iskaba, that track, DJ Tunes.
You like it?
That song is hot, man.
It's hot work, man. It's hot work, man.
How did you get into contact with him?
You know, I got into contact with DJ Tunes through Chris. Chris, you just want to, like,
yeah,
you know,
elaborate
take
then,
that
Chris?
Over and elaborate?
Wow, okay. So me and DJ Tunes got some history together, actually. We grew up on the same block, you know. Shout out the block, 84th. But, you know, he grew up on the end of the block. I grew up in the middle of the block, you know, Nigerian mother. My mother was American and Cameroon heritage, you know, and we just connected. My older brothers played basketball with him and his older brothers, and that was always, you know, Tunes from the block until he became world-renowned producer, you know, international producer and DJ Tunes for Wiz. And we connected about 2 years ago. You know, I was just helping him, you know, with some things on the road, and, you know, now we just building it brick by brick, taking it, sky's the limit, you know.
Oh, Bash, you got a question, bro? Come through, bro.
So this is for Chris. As an upcoming artist,
yes, sir.
You know, you're building a lot of project. How's your work ethic? You know, you're like producing all the time, or always in the lab, always writing. How's that going?
Yeah, my work ethic is serious right now. You know, just my day-to-day hustle, and then you know, I'm working on a EP, couple singles. It's a singles market, so, you know, we're just trying to push out song by song and just gain traction after traction. You know, I'm a artist. I'm a real artist in the sense of the word. I like to get my hands on everything, like from the cover art to the beat to, you know, the final mix of the record. So it's like my work ethic is deeper than most, you know, and you know, I love it that way, you know, because if I rather win or lose, you know, by my standards.
You make most of your own. You make everything on your own, right?
Not all on my own. You know, no one could do it alone. You know, Performing arts school, so I have a lot of peers that, you know, like-minded individuals, great talented people I deem geniuses in their own right, and we just got that relationship still, and we just get busy, you know.
Nice.
Sort of like yes, us sir. In York College, bro.
Yes sir.
I mean,
sir.
That's how
very
we
tight knit. Very tight knit. Yes sir. Appreciate that.
Yeah, man. How much time do you spend in the studio just writing? Just
at least. Oh, man, last year alone, I've probably missed about 4 Mondays out of the year. So every Monday, I would connect with my boy Birthday, you know. Shout out Blue Labs and Dinnerland Sound and Dinnerland in general. But, yeah, man, every Monday of last year, we just locked in and recorded draft after draft, you know, verse after verse. Tweaking everything, and, you know.
And what is some of the stuff that inspires you to create music? Is it like everyday life or just current events? Or
life, interactions with people, definitely mostly interactions with people. My experiences, traveling. I love writing while I'm flying. You know, I feel like I have a clear mind at the time. I love writing while I'm walking somewhere as well. You know, just interactions with people. Memories, just life in general, you know, everything, really.
What's the best place you traveled so far?
Best place I traveled so far. Best place I traveled so far. This is going to sound really typical and really, like, you know.
Don't you dare say Miami.
No.
That's a very New York answer.
It's going to sound real typical. It's going to sound real typical and real black, but it's all good, man. I'm a black man, but Jamaica. I love okay. Jamaica,
that's
man.
Fair.
That's where I'm trying to, you know, throw in a towel.
Okay.
Jamaica.
It sounds like a nice little resting period at Jamaica.
Love the island of Jamaica, man.
Arkansas fish was good. Humbles
me. Yeah, it just humbles me. Just come back with a clear mind. Okay. Just humbles me, man.
You got any questions, bro?
Yeah, so when you're performing, how do you feel the crowd, the energy? Is that...
Man, I feel like a different man. I feel like, you know, I feel like a different man. You know, I just connect, tap into the music and tap into the energy and just, you know, and just let them know I'm not scared and I'm not, you know, I'm really not here to play. I'm really trying to get your attention and create an experience for you and a memory and have you be like, whoa, who's that kid? Who's that guy? Or how can I get his music or how can I reach out to him or something like that, you know? That's how I approach the stage show.
So, like, versus, like, the studio and on-stage presence, do you feel like a different rapper? Like, the energy in the studio is different from the energy on stage?
Definitely. Definitely. And I feel like as you grow and get to different levels of this game, that changes, you know, with the type of technology you have access to, you know? You know, younger artists, you're probably just using a dynamic mic over your two track versus a touring artist like Drake, who has his inner earpiece with the, you know, with just the instrumental going through, you know, and he's hearing his live vocals back in his ear, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like that'll change. Right now, it's totally different. Right now, in the studio, we just trying to encompass the vibe of the track and make it a, you know, make it a better listening experience. A live show right now, you're just trying to liven up the room and become an even greater energy. You know, you may almost be screaming over your track in some instances, you know, trying to even hear yourself back. But, you know, like I said, as you gain more experiences and touch bigger stages and work with bigger productions, excuse me, I'm sure it changes and you're able to sound like you're recording in a booth, but you're performing in front of thousands, you know.
So as a
not
writer,
to sound so technical and so, no, you know, but
he's a nerd with this stuff, so yeah, this man. Is great.
Yeah,
I'm a nerd too, bro. I'm a, you know, I love this shit. I love this shit for real.
Yeah. So another thing, when you're making your singles, right? Are you trying to make singles that's easy to rock up with the crowd? Like I heard the track that we were playing over the break, and it's like that's perfect for the crowd.
I don't try to create a track for the crowd each time. You know, I try to create different tracks for different moments in life, you know? A track you may be driving, a track you may be upset with, a track you may be trying to get dressed to go out with, you know, a song, you know, you want to get live with in the club, a song you want to make love with your girl with, a song you want to, you know, have a quickie with a, you know, a girl with or something, you know. Different moments in life, I like to just create that and just tap into that. Life is a movie, for real.
Do you remember the first song you've ever made?
Definitely, I do. I remember the first song I wrote.
Spit them bars. I want to hear the first.
No, I don't. I probably don't remember the bars. I remember.
What
like,
was it about?
I know it was over a Timbaland beat. I know it was like over a Nelly Furtado, like.
Oh, was Promiscuous Girls?
It was. It was, man. It was. Yo, I was in love with that beat. Honestly, I was in love. I was in love with that beat and just the technicality of it, you know. Growing up, I always wanted to be a producer coming into music, you know. And, you know, I found out about Kanye West. Excuse me. I found out about Kanye West and, you know, how he got into the game. And I was like, wow, you could be an artist too and produce. So I switched gears at a young age, but I always just listened to beats and paid attention to it and always tapped on things and, you know, and things of that nature.
On the technical side, what do you use software and hardware-wise?
Logic, Fruity Loops, Reason, you know, MIDIs, MacBook Pros, trying to think, Machine. You know,
I just recently quit using Machine.
Got you. Yeah.
Yeah, I just use Ableton for everything.
Got you. A lot of people switching to Ableton.
Yeah.
Wilson is dope. Yeah, that's pretty much it for right now. I'm trying to think of anything else without giving too much away, you know. But yeah, it's really about the person though, and all, you know, in all matters. I've seen people with $500 computers making, you know,
yeah, garbage, is
making awesome stuff, you know. So
yeah, it's all about the person.
Yes sir.
Can you it's all good, man. Can you go through the process on just how to make a beat?
Oh man. Various ways, man. We could be here all day talking about that. But me personally, I would say I just try to find a cool melody. Sometimes I start with the drums, percussion. Sometimes I start with a melody and build a counter melody around that, and just, you know, build.
You have like a sort of signature, because you know a lot of producers have
don't
like
want to get into that. Oh, yeah, I don't want to get into that.
All right, I'm sorry.
I'm very curious. You don't want to get into that.
All good. Okay. Bash, you got any other questions, bro? To ask Mr. Watts.
Appreciate you guys. For
keep
real.
Going. Keep putting up the hard work.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, man. I'm definitely gonna be checking for you,
appreciate
bro.
Appreciate you, man. Yeah. Appreciate
you. This is my first time talking to you, and you seem like
likewise,
a dope person.
Man. Likewise.
And
likewise,
I'm definitely gonna
real.
Be checking for you, bro.
Likewise, man.
And definitely. Mr. HQ, you keep doing you, sir. HQ.
We are.
Thank
man.
You for big coming homie. Through.
Likewise.
And I'm gonna talk to you off the air, because you know there's certain things that you did not want to explain to me.
Nah, we'll definitely talk off air.
Yeah, man. Just a quick shout out to Dinnerland Sound, the BT Group, Team Tunes, DJ Tunes, you know, 19. We here. I love it. I appreciate you guys. Good morning.
Where can people find you? Give all that, man. Social media, Instagram,
me
SoundClouds.
Watts Ain't Sugar Honey Iced Tea.
Nice.
IG, SoundCloud. We're hitting iTunes, Tidal, all your streaming stores next week Tuesday with the single, Whoa Yeah. But right now you can find me on chriswatts.com, www.chriswatts.com, Watts with a Z. Yeah, man, that's all. You can look me up on Google, all that good stuff. Do your Googles, man.
And what about you, Mr. HQ? Give all your social medias real quick before we sign off.
Oh man, just simply look for me on Instagram, HQ High Quality. That's where you can find me.
What does the HQ stand for again?
High Quality, baby. That's all you get with me, High Quality.
Okay.
Right.
Well, y'all, we just want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Black Seinfeld.
Show about absolutely nothing.
Thank you, Bashin, for showing up here.
I apologize for my lateness.
It's all good, man. It's not your fault, man. You got anything else to say to the people?
Yo, definitely tune in next week.
Okay, we want to thank, you know, the audio engineer, Mr. Michael G. Haskins. We want to thank intern Mike for hooking it up with the IG Live, man. And for next time, this is Black Seinfeld, show about absolutely nothing, intellectual ignorance. We out.
Shout out the wife.
Peace.